Right. Good morning, Crossroads. Good to see you here joining us in person here at South Kokomo. And those of you joining us online, wherever you are, we're glad that you're with us today. Brent already said it. It's a big day. I'm going to mention this before we talk about why it's a big day. I spent some time this week down at our downtown campus permanent location. 2 weeks from today, Lord willing, they are moving into that location. It is coming. And I am telling you, God gave us that building. He's given us the means through your giving for it to be able to renovate it. It's going to be fantastic. They're thrilled to be making the move. We need to be thrilled with them because this weekend, more than any, we are one church, multiple locations, because this is a big day. Last week was a big day, listening to Luke, appreciated what we had to hear from him. This week, we're doing something that is called a church decision, and you're going to get to vote. And if you've been in this church less than 8 years, you say, I don't remember when the last time we voted. We haven't voted in the last 8 years for anything. If you were in this church before 8 years ago, or maybe you've been in another church, you've been familiar with churches that made decisions. Some churches, the pastor makes almost all the decisions, and there are no votes. And some churches have elders that make some decisions, and the pastors make some decisions, and the church makes some. And this particular church, way back in its day, matter of fact, it's similar to the church I grew up in, used to vote about everything. Matter of fact, just reminded earlier, one of the elders was reminding me that years ago, they used to put the pastor on a one-year contract. Every year, you would vote to see, in August, to see whether or not he was going to continue on for another year. So what that meant was the pastor saved his best sermons for July to get convince him, right, or whatever. But that was happening clear up till at least the 80s. And maybe you were in churches that there were lots of votes, and maybe you're saying, well, hey, I don't even know what's the deal about this vote, because we're going to answer this question this morning. How does a church make a decision? How does this church make this decision? Because in the book of Acts, chapter 1, for instance, there were had been originally 12 selected by Jesus to be the apostles that led the church, the disciples, and one had betrayed him, so they were down to 11, and they made a decision there by choosing a replacement. They considered some names, narrowed it down to two. Says they cast lots. In essence, it's the idea of flipping a coin. A little bit later in Acts 15, they had kind of a doctrinal choice to make. So they got some delegates together and they made a decision kind of as a consensus. But in Acts chapter 6, there's a story to where they went to make a decision and the people voted on the decision. And the longer I looked at Acts chapter 6, the more I realized, my goodness, this is us. It's where they were is where we are. And there's some things to learn from it. So let's look. As you start, Acts chapter 6 obviously comes after chapter 5 and so on. The story of the church so far is that on the day of Pentecost, which, by the way, as they count on the calendar, it's about today would be this year's day of Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. So day of Pentecost, and 2,000 got saved, or 3,000 got saved then. Then a few days later, they had a bunch more get saved, and they said there were 5,000 men that were part of the church. So the church was growing, numbering in thousands. Great things happening. You never like this in any story. You never like it any time when somebody's telling you something, and they're saying, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, good things still happening, good stuff going on, but there were rumblings of discontent. Oh my goodness. Who would ever think in the church somebody would be unhappy? Can you imagine? Rumblings of discontent got to the point, as we'll see in a minute, where leaders had it, but notice this. There were Greek-speaking believers that were complaining, and the word is murmuring. You know what a murmur is? It's kind of when they talk. Any of you parents got kids that when you tell them something and they know they shouldn't defy you, but they say something under their breath? Some of you are doing this, and you say, what'd you say, young man? Nothing, nothing, right? They're murmuring, they're complaining about the Hebrew-speaking believer. You got to get this before we move on. When there's a need not being met, and we're going to see it in just a minute, this bunch, let's go on. They were saying their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So what that's meaning is this. Needs weren't being met, and some people were saying, hey, it looks to me like our bunch isn't being taken care of as good as their bunch. Looks to me like they favor that bunch over my bunch. Looks to me like they care more about these folks than they do. Matter of fact, if you notice, all those folks over there are one nationality and we're another nationality. Notice that we're different. And the seeds of division. Satan was looking for a way to divide the church. Folks are saying, the need isn't being met. The widows that aren't being taken care of, it's not because of the fact they need to be taken care of, they're not being taken care of. It's because of who they are, and they don't love them as much as they love this bunch. So the 12, that's the 11 plus the one who's chosen in Acts chapter 1, called a meeting together of all the believers. How many they got there? I don't know, church meeting, how many thousands of people in the church, but they got there. And the 12 said this, we apostles, again, these are the folks, the first 11 were chosen by Jesus, and then the 12th, the 11 chose. We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God and not running a food program. Now, when I read that, I go, whew, that sounds a little bit elitist. I'm too good to serve food to widows. Not for a second. Jesus was a servant. Jesus chose to come not to be served, but to serve. Our job is to be like Jesus, should be willing to do anything. But know this, God created you to do something. And you can get to the point to where you're doing something good that's good to be done and neglecting what God created you to do. Do you understand? Normally the temptation in the church isn't to do a bad thing. It's to do too many good things that put you away from the God things. And that's where they were. So they said, we need to not do this. So, and we're going to come back to this in a minute. So, brothers, select 7 men. And here's some criteria. We want them to be well-respected among you. We want them to be full of the Spirit. And we want them to be full of wisdom. And you pick 7. That's what he's saying to the crowd. And we'll give them this responsibility. This job will be theirs. We'll hand it to them. We'll take hands off. We'll not micromanage. We will empower them to do it. And we apostles can spend our time doing what God wants us to do. That's to pray and teach the word. Now notice this. Next slide. It just catches my attention. It says, everybody. We got it? Everybody, yes, everybody. I like it too. Everybody liked this idea. I'm telling you what. As a leader, when I read that, I go, everybody liked the idea the leaders had. Everybody liked it. Everybody liked it. Remember how they started in verse 1? Everybody liked it. So they chose the following, and you've got the list. Stephen. And these names all meant more to them than they do to us, but I'll call attention to a couple of them here in a minute. Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch. And it tells a little bit about his faith. That's the 7 they chose. And you remember what he said? The apostle said, you pick 7. Bring them back to us. So they did. They were presented to the apostles. They prayed for them, and they laid hands on them. And we're going to talk about this more in a couple of minutes, too. Hey, these are good men, well-respected, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, good men. We want them to be better than good men. We want God to empower them to go beyond their human capabilities. That's what we're asking. So they prayed for them, and here's the result. God's message continued to spread. It was already spreading, but it spread more after this decision. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Okay, I'm going to pull 3 or 4 quick things from this, and then we're going to make a decision. First service already did, downtown campus just finished making their decision. We're going to make ours, one church together. So, first thing to tell you is this. A church decision is really a God decision. You say, what are we going to decide to do? Well, what we want to do is what we want to do, what God wants done. And he's trusting us to do it. I was reading this week an article on the founding of Howard County, and they were talking about certain families that were deeded ground back when the county was founded, I think in 1843, and how many generations and hundreds of years that they were able to keep that property in the family or whatever else. This church is just a little bit younger than Howard County, 175 years old this year. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you about who owned it day one and still who still owns it today. Same family. This church is in the same family. Guess who? God. This is God's church. This was never Kevin's church, and God knows that. And we elect Luke Smith. It's not going to be his church. It's God's church. He wants to make a decision about the future of this church. So notice this. Make the TV blank for a minute. Wouldn't it be a lot easier if we just had a question, what are we supposed to do? So we pose the question, yes or no, and then we just look at the screen and say, God, speak. Speak. I mean, maybe a big thumbs up if God wants it done would appear on the screen, or a thumb, and notice I said big. God, this is God's thumb. God's thumb big, God's thumb down big. Nope, he's not going to do that. You know what he's going to do? Check this out, 1 Corinthians 12. You're Christ's body, all of you. Notice this, together. All of you together are Christ's body. Each one of you is a part of it. God is not going to pull out a pen and mark a ballot for this decision. He's going to let your hands pull the pen out, your hand hold the ballot. Or those of you that were going to explain earlier, they're going to join us electronically. You're going to use your device. You're going to send the word vote to a certain number. You're going to get a link back. It's not going to be God's thumbs that are going to mark that ballot. It's going to be your thumbs. At the end of this service, we're going to have you, with that ballot, walk down here and cast it. God's not going to walk down here. Your feet. You ever heard the phrase, we're the hands and feet of Jesus? That's what we're going to be today. God is going to trust us to make his decision. Notice this. A church decision should be made in unity. It should be made in unity. I showed you this. Remember how we started in verse 1? Hey, their widows are being liked more than our widows. And hey, their widows aren't being taken care of. Our widows aren't being taken care of because of who they are, not because of how big a need they have. And hey, and there was finger pointing starting and whatever. And then they made the proposal, and I showed you this earlier. Everybody liked the idea. That's what a decision should do. When things are starting to do this, it should do this. Now let me say this. Let me talk to the Church of Crossroads here for a moment. I'm like you. I am so grateful that because of protocols and vaccinations and requirements and announcements from those in charge, I'm so grateful that many of us don't have to wear masks near as much as we did. I am great, yes, amen, brother, to that too. My mask has stayed in my pocket all morning, and that hasn't happened since, I don't know, it seems like 8 years ago, right? I'm thankful that ropes are starting to be removed. The chairs like at North or downtown are starting to be slid a little closer. I'm glad for that. I am. Sure we are. We all are. Let's acknowledge this. COVID revealed and in some ways intensified some potential divisions among God's people. God forbid. There were people that got so unhappy with us, not because we weren't preaching Jesus, but because we weren't doing decisions on masks right. There were people that got unhappy with us because we put ropes in. There were people that got unhappy with us when we took some ropes down. We have divided over so many things. We're having our downtown campus is moving, and it's been such a battle, even though that campus is not that far away. It's in the same city. When I get in my van, if I punch in GPS, it tells me in my van I can get to the downtown campus from here in 16 minutes. I'm told that Ty can be there on his motorcycle in 9. But it's not very far. It's not very far. And yet, sometimes bringing the campuses together. Those of you joining online sometimes feel like you're out here in the in-person, and how do you bring them together? And sometimes the older folks versus the younger, and how do you bring them together? And staff and elders and all the potential for division. This is a decision where we can make it together. We can walk from the today and have decided this together. Your vote at home, maybe you've never been in this building or any Crossroads building. You can vote the same as somebody that sits in a seat here every week. We come together. That's what a church decision should. I know this, I'll say this and move on. I know churches that make decisions and then some folks walk out and go somewhere else. I tell you what, they should have gone back and took another look at that decision. A church decision shouldn't divide, it should unify. It should happen. Notice this. This is how it happens. A church decision, go back to that. There we go. A church decision requires trust. It's hard to remember. 13, 14 months ago, some of us would leave our homes, say to your spouse, hey, pray for me. Let's have prayer. I'm going to go out, pray that God helps me to find some toilet paper. Do you remember those days? I still remember Danny McCain caught me at Walmart back in that season, motioned me over and, hey, Pastor Kevin, I found some over in aisle 6, but it's kind of tucked around the corner where it can't be seen. Hurry over there before it's gone. And I thanked him and made my way over there and came home. You know, it's like the great hunters, you know, got some toilet paper, right? And but how many things have we been short of during COVID? How many times have you gone and no, we can't get that mattress, we can't get that car, you can get some lumber, but you're going to pay through the nose for it. There's so many things we're short on. You know what we're also short on? COVID revealed it and made it worse. Trust. Trust. COVID took what trust we had and ripped the heart out of it. The last election, God forgive us, took what trust we had and just ripped the heart out of it. And we're at a point now to where you may be saying it, you may be online saying it, thinking it. You may hear it. I hear it. I don't trust anybody. I don't trust anybody. Or maybe you say, I'd like to trust, but trust is hard. I want to show you what happened in this story. Those leaders looked at new believers, most of whom were only weeks, days, a month or two old in the faith. And they came and said, we need more help. And those leaders looked and said, okay, brothers, you choose. You choose. And then when they said, if you'll bring back 7, whoever they are, we're not going to screen them, we're not going to look, we're not, now here's the criteria, but you bring us back some people to do this job, we'll give it to them, hands off. And then when they brought them back, it says they laid hands on them and prayed for them. Leaders trusted the people. People trusted their leaders. Both of them trusted those 7 individuals. God trusted all of them to effect that. Let me do something right here. In this room right now, we have some of our elders and some members of our search team that the elders selected clear back, had their first meeting in early January of this year. I'd like for you to stand right now. you're an elder or a member of the search team, stand. Okay? All right, do this for me. We owe them a round of applause. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Go ahead. Thank you. Thank you. The hours, the effort, the prayer. You know what we did? Our elders are in charge of the process of selecting the next lead pastor according to our governing documents. Our elders could have said, we're going to choose. Just like these guys. Instead, they picked a search team of volunteers of you and said, nope, we're going to trust them to choose. And you know what I know? I was never in a second of those meetings. But you know what I know? They took it seriously. They prayed. They felt the weight of it. They wrestled together. They talked. They changed. They went through over 80 applicants and got down to where, and prayerfully to where last week when we had Luke Smith here, they were like, job done. And our elders wrestled through this and prayed. And then you know what the elders could have done? Could have written a governing document that said, okay, vote of the elders, on favor, he's a pastor now. You know what they did? They said, we're going to trust you. We're going to trust us. We're going to trust downtown folks. We're going to trust folks online. We're going to trust all folks to make this decision. And here's the statement I'm going to make to you. God help me to make this. I don't know. I don't know that I know those elders well enough to trust them. I don't even know most of the people on that search team. How can I trust them? I've heard Luke Smith a few times, but I've not spent enough time with him to trust him. How do I know how to vote? You know what? I'm telling you to do this. I am telling you to make a God decision. Sometimes you have to choose to trust. You choose beyond your experience. You choose beyond your knowledge. You choose beyond. I never spent a second in a search team meeting. You know what I chose way back in January? I said, God, whoever they bring through, I'm going to choose to trust them. I'm going to back the candidate that comes out of that search team, no matter who it is. I'm going to back them because I'm going to choose to trust. I challenge you. As a church, I challenge you. Don't say, I don't know enough to know how to vote. Choose to trust. Last point. Church decision produces a legacy. This day, May 23rd, 2021, circle it on your calendar. Mark it some way to where every year, like it does in Google Photos, it comes up. Do something to remind you this was a big day. We're going to make a choice about the future of Crossroads for the next season, perhaps even a generation. Look what happened with their seven. They made that decision. Everybody liked it. The seven started their work. God's message continued to spread. Good things were already happening. Let me acknowledge this. Good things are already happening here. We make this decision, more good things can happen. The number of believers greatly increased. Believers were already increasing there. Believers are already increasing here. First service, we watched another baptism. It's a wonderful moment. Great story. Wish you'd seen it. Wish you knew the story. Good things are happening. More good things can. Greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted. And a couple of other quick points to make. Stephen was chosen as one of those seven guys. You take care of the food program. When you move to Acts chapter 7, God has somebody standing in front of the religious leaders of Jerusalem, given the most unique and powerful witness and testimony that could be given. And you know who it was? Food program Deacon Stephen that dominates chapter 7. Chapter 8 in the book of Acts, God used somebody to connect with an influential leader of one of the African countries and lead him and to Christ and baptize him and send him on to open the continent of Africa to God's witness and the good news of Jesus Christ. And you know who they used? Philip. One of those seven guys that people chose and the apostles laid hands on. Let me say this to you, and then we're going to go through the decision. Important. If we choose Luke Smith, 2 weeks from today, he'll stand here and preach his first message. Before he does, the elders will gather around him on this very platform and lay hands on him and pray for him. He has lots of abilities that will serve this church well. You know what? We need more than that. We need God-empowered abilities to take him beyond the natural and make him God's leader, if that's what we choose, into this next season. They're going to pray for that. You're going to join them if you're here. Let me pray for us, and then let's vote. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, what an awesome responsibility we have. We are affecting the future of this church in how we decide. Guide each heart, help each person to realize you're trusting their hands and their feet to bring about your decision. So God, I pray for that to happen. And I pray for you in this final service. There's already been folks online and two different campuses that have already voted. And God, in this campus, this final service, bring us together. May this be a time of unity and a time of trust. God, help us. Help us as we decide and as we vote. And guide us in how we vote, in Jesus' name.